Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Rural Outreach Clinic in Colborne is open. That is the message the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland wants residents to clearly understand. It is booking appointments, but the hours are reduced as the health team settles some staffing issues. However, the future is less certain. Tara Rennix is Executive Director of Community Health Centres of Northumberland and co-chair of the Ontario Health Team Northumberland. In this interview, she will talk about the future of the outreach clinic. It is complex, as there are many factors contributing to a series of decisions going forward. Staffing and a memorandum of understanding between Cramie Council needs to be negotiated. Then there are the finances and much more. Yet there is something residents and users can do, as Rennix will explain. Listen carefully to get the picture and understand what can be done. I'm so pleased to have with me today Taryn Rennix, Executive Director of Community Health Centres of Northumberland and the co-chair of the Ontario Health Team Northumberland. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
What is the current status of the Rural Outreach Clinic in Colborne?
So currently, interestingly enough, I'm sitting at the Rural Outreach Clinic in Colborne on Victoria Street, and we have had a couple of very recent, I'm talking 2 weeks, a little bit of a hiccup in some staffing. We are still operating the clinic. However, we are doing so with some condensed hours.
What has happened with the staffing? Can you describe what's taken place?
Sure. We have lost some support staff to other opportunities. And really, it's the support staff in this operation that support the clinicians that are coming in. And without the support staff, it's really difficult. It's challenging to navigate the schedule, navigate the phone calls, process some of the information coming in and the outgoing information as well. Our clinicians really rely on our support staff. So we are looking at a solution to fill that gap.
The clinicians, just for people who might not know what that term means, what are the people we're talking about?
Yep, no problem. So we have many different clinicians. So these are healthcare providers that are coming into the clinic, and they're coming from some of our OHT partners. So examples would be today, we have a nurse practitioner in the clinic, and she's come to us from Northumberland Hills Hospital. Tomorrow, we have two diabetes educators coming to the clinic. They're coming from the Community Health Centres of Northumberland. I know that on Friday, and forgive me, Rob, because I don't have the schedule memorized, I'm certainly doing my best, but Friday we have mental health and youth worker coming from Rebound Child and Youth Services, and then there's others. There's other adult mental health, Community Care Northumberland sends staff. So there's a myriad of different folks using the space.
Let's be direct. Is the clinic going to close?
The answer to that question is no decision has been made about the future of the clinic. While we are facing some challenges, and that can be everything from staffing to availability of these clinicians that are being provided by our partner organizations, we have not made any decisions related to the closure of the clinic. Currently, it is continuing to operate.
That sounds not very definitive. And I'm sure that people who are listening would really like something definitive.
I'm sure they would. And I've had conversations today with community and prior to today, actually, with many community members who are concerned. There are several rumors circulating locally because community members have found this little hub to be a real gem in Colburn and in Crammy Township. They found it very helpful, especially for those folks who don't have easy access to primary health care or other health care services. Unfortunately, I do not have a definitive answer for you today, but I can tell you that the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland, including the committee that oversees the rural outreach clinic operations, is working to come up with some sort of sustainable model. And it may not look exactly the same as it did 2 weeks ago, but something so that we're not yanking the services away from Crammy Township.
What are the factors that are contributing to this situation then?
Sure. Of course, we're looking at service provision numbers. So if I have a nurse practitioner here who's not seeing the volume of patients that a nurse practitioner could see in a day, then we have to analyze that data. We have to look at those numbers and see, is the outreach component viable for our partner organization? So that's one factor. And we're doing that analysis now to determine if the services that are here are being utilized adequately. We also have a recent development. Previously, the space was being provided to the OHT in kind at no cost, and our landlord has informed us that they would like to talk about charging us rent going forward.
Let's unpack that a little bit then. So sure. It sounds to me you've said one factor is people aren't using it to the level that it needs to be to make it viable. Yep. So how many people are using this at rut rate?
Rough rate. So we opened in April of 2021, Rob, and I have some stats here for you, actually. We have served approximately 420 individuals since April of 2021.
What level does it have to be at in order to be viable?
Well, what we'd like to see is our clinicians that are sent out here with really full days, because that proves to us that the services are needed. And, you know, if clinicians are coming from another organization, a partner organization at the Ontario Health Team, are they seeing enough people here providing an outreach service versus at their home base? Because we need to be cognizant of the use of taxpayers' dollars and healthcare dollars and making sure that they're being used efficiently.
What have you done to promote the usage of the clinic locally?
So it's interesting you say that, because we have heard recently that there's been a lack of communication about the clinic. And I actually did some research earlier today just to loop back to the early days and what we've done to promote the clinic. Again, I don't want to talk about recent in terms of social media and that sort of thing, because I'm really not sure how much social media or physical promotion we've done recently. I'd have to look into that for you, Rob. But I do know that in the early days, we did provide brochures, we did social media posts, we did posts on the Ontario Health Team website, we did a radio interview. So we have done several things to promote the clinic, and there are concerns in the community that perhaps it hasn't been enough.
So what are you going to do to respond to that then? Because obviously it's not just the fact that the community isn't using it. Maybe people just don't know. So what responsibility are you going to take on that end to ensure that people maybe do know and might be more willing to use it?
Sure. So Crammy Township has actually suggested that they would be willing to support some advertising. In the form of flyers that go out in people's mail, township mail, be it water bills, tax levy bills. I'm not sure what that would look like. So that is something that's sort of in the hopper. But our concern is, and what we need to assess first, is what is the clinic going to look like in terms of service provision going forward, which is going to impact how we advertise it. We don't want to advertise something and get everybody really excited about it if it's not going to look the same. So we need to be really clear about what the services are going to look like before we take the township up on that offer to advertise.
Is funding an issue?
Funding in healthcare is often an issue. So as an Ontario Health Team, and as you know, there are 58 in the province, we have an agreement with Ontario Health. And within that agreement, we have stipulations as to how the funding can be utilized. There are stipulations that suggest clinical purposes for this Ontario Health Team funding is not acceptable. So obviously we have to do some, you know, reading between the lines about what we can support. And I would say that is why that the Ontario Health Team partners, Ontario Health Teams are a collaborative approach to providing healthcare and social services in communities. And that is why all of these organizations that I previously mentioned are providing services in kind. There's no exchange of money taking place because that is part of the stipulations against our fund, the use of our funding by Ontario Health.
Part of the misinformation that seems to be floating around is that you guys do have money. In fact, that the Ontario government has given money for these kinds of projects, and hence the municipality is interested now in getting some remuneration back because it's been so expensive for them to facilitate the building that you're in.
Right. So that's interesting. And we do have a memorandum of understanding with the township that is currently being updated. So we are going to be speaking with the township about how that can look going forward. But I will say that there are definitely restrictions on the use of our funding. And I'll be honest, I am not certain that providing a clinical operation is within the parameters of our funding, Rob. I don't think we're allowed to do that. We're certainly going to do some more investigation, but I can also say that we are not flush with funds. No Ontario Health Team is, and there are specific projects that we have been mandated to do that also use our funding.
Because my understanding is that the municipality signed an agreement that was to go for 2 years. And then it was supposed to be revisited, and it's now extended 4 years that the municipality has been offering this in-kind. And we're talking about everything, not just rent, but also snow removal and utilities and quite a range of things that they've been paying for.
Right.
And I know that that's something that they want to see some monies coming back terms of just, you know, can you pay for the snow and shoveling, and can you pay for the cutting the grass, all those kinds of things. What I'm hearing from you right now is that the fridge is bare. So
the fridge is pretty bare, Rob. So in healthcare, we cannot maintain a surplus. So an example being the money we were given last year as an Ontario Health Team that was utilized to complete project work mandated by Ontario Health. I would suggest that any surplus that was left, we do not maintain that. We do not retain that. That goes back to the government.
This sounds like a very serious problem within the mix when you're talking about adjusting hours. But if you don't have funding and there's a need for funding, then right, how do you sustain this at all? And how can you say, well, it's up in the air? It sounds to me like this is unsustainable. Can you clarify that, please?
If we could, I wouldn't say it's completely unsustainable. However, if we can come to terms and an agreement either with the township or with other locations, because as I stated earlier, we do not want to take these important services away from, in particular, unattached people in Cramie Township, right? So the focus is to provide care to the people who are not attached to a primary care provider. And I know I've actually had three local citizens come, word gets out, I happen to be here today, and they've come in just to have a candid conversation about their concerns about losing the services. And I've told them the same thing I'm telling you, is it is not our intent to remove the services, but rather to perhaps condense them so that we can maybe provide the services not 5 days a week, but continue to offer some services, because this is a real challenge. We, as an Ontario Health Team, we want to better services in the community, not remove them.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, your organization has been crying very loudly about the fact that we have a huge influx of people without doctors. I believe the number is somewhere around 8,000. I don't know the current number, but the last time, a couple months ago, it was 8,000. We're talking by next year, supposedly 20,000 people could be without a doctor. Here's the service.
Correct.
This is part of your mandate. And now you're telling me that the cupboard may be bare and, we're going to be cutting back. How is that meeting your mandate?
When you put it that way, it doesn't sound like we're meeting our mandate. But having said that, there are opportunities. So through Jane Philpott's Primary Care Action Team, which is a fairly new initiative of our government, there is a drive for attachment. So one thing we have to recognize is that offering a service that doesn't allow for attachment, so that's linking people to a quote unquote permanent, I know nothing's permanent, primary health care provider, be it a physician or a nurse practitioner. So the Primary Care Action Team is looking to attach every Ontarian to a primary care provider. And I believe it's by 2029. So while we are filling a gap for people who are unattached, really what we need to focus on, our true mandate at this point, is to find attachment avenues for these folks. And that's through things like physician recruitment, which, as you know, the County of Northumberland is taking care of for us and has recently hired a physician recruiter. That's going to focus on the entirety of the county.
I'm loath to say that this is a crisis because that might be hyperbole. But at the same time, how would you characterize the situation then for the people in Crammy and those people who are using this service from what you've just described to me? How would you characterize it?
Sure. Well, I think we need to look for opportunities, right? I think... certainly, as I said, we don't want to remove services from a rural community that is in need of these services. If there is a way, though, that we can work under the new guidelines with the Primary Care Action Team and perhaps look at a new model where we have something locally that provides primary care attachment, but also those interdisciplinary services, then that would be best case scenario. Right now, although this is not a walk-in clinic, patients are not being attached to a primary care provider, and they're not always seeing the same primary care provider. So sometimes that means telling your story more than once. What I think should happen is opportunities for primary care providers to come to this clinic here in Crammy Township and attach patients. I mean, if we could recruit a permanent physician to be located here, that would be ideal.
With all due respect, I understand your vision and it's very admirable. But if I'm sitting and listening to this interview and I'm coming to this rural clinic right now and I'm getting looked after to a level that I haven't had before,
right?
Do I worry so much about what everybody's dreaming about and how are we going to make sure that there's not a gap in between your vision and what's happening now so that people lose what they've already got?
Right. And that's why I'm saying we are doing our best to try and maintain a certain level of services. That's exactly why we're not yanking the services away. We're trying to come up with a solution, even if it's interim, a solution to close that gap. We're not going to close the doors of the rural outreach clinic today, tomorrow, next week, et cetera. What we are struggling to do is have continuity of staffing here so that the clinic can run smoothly. And I know it's not everybody's bailiwick to understand the inner workings of primary care or healthcare, but there's a lot of things that occur in between appointments that need to be taken care of.
Fine. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. What's the timeline then that you have that you've got to make these decisions and make these changes and then let the community know?
So our intent as an OHT and a Rural Outreach Planning Committee is to take back to our OHT Collaboration Council, that's all the partners, with proposed solutions at our October Collaboration Council meeting, which happens the last Tuesday in October. We would like to have a decision made then. And until then, we're trying to continuously communicate what's happening.
All right. Let's just step back for a moment and fill in some of the gaps, because not everybody lives in Crammy Township, unfortunately. Right. But there are other people that are going to be listening. So first of all, you mentioned earlier some of the service levels and some of the things that the clinic offers. Can you give a fuller picture of what it is that you're actually doing in the community and the kinds of things that you are helping people with?
So our primary care providers, which is we have currently two nurse practitioners and a family physician that joined us in, I believe it was March of this year. They're coming in not full time. And I think that's something that's important for the community to understand. The scheduling here is not the nurse practitioner or the physician is here 5 days a week. So we have a schedule of services, and that's really what the focus is on right now, Rob, is making sure that schedule of services is both well utilized for the providers of care, but also known to the community for accessing that care. So these primary care providers are seeing people who maybe haven't been attached to a primary care provider in years. So they're doing assessments to determine what is needed. They're sending folks for blood work. They're renewing prescriptions. They're sending people to specialists and then receiving the reports back to determine next course of action. So it's definitely not like a walk-in clinic. There is some continuity of care. And then, of course, we have the other allied health services, such as our dietitian, our mental health folks, our registered nurse who's a diabetes educator, and they're filling in some of the other gaps because, you know, if you have longstanding diabetes and you need adjustments in your meds and you need coaching and guidance on your food intake, those are the experts. Those are the specialists.
Let's put this in the spectrum then. So this is what the clinic does. Mm-hmm. How is the clinic different than from a walk-in clinic, which sounds the same, but maybe different?
A walk-in clinic typically focuses on episodic and acute issues. So I know from experience with the walk-in clinic that's in Port Hope, for example, they are focusing on also trying to focus on unattached people to provide services, but they're focused more on acute and episodic things that folks have previously, if there's no walk-in and they're not attached, have had to go to eMERGE for. They've gone to the emergency department. Here, there's a slight element of follow-up that is not typical of a walk-in clinic. I know that the Port Hope walk-in clinic physicians are trying to provide some of that follow-up just because of the nature of the level of unattachment in our communities. And they're doing their best to do so, but that's not the mandate of a walk-in clinic and it's not the purpose.
So if I'm somebody at home and I've had a cold or a cough for a while and I need to do something about it, do I go to the outreach clinic? Do I go to a walk-in clinic? Or do I go to eMERGE, which would be then the next step in the level of care that I could receive?
So those would be walk-in clinic issues, Rob, because here you have to make an appointment ahead of time. Okay, so you can't walk in here and say, can I see someone? Our clinicians here are pre-booked. Whereas a walk-in clinic, they're not pre-booking folks. So you walk in and you wait to see someone. Now, when you talked about your potential stitches, depending on the clinician on duty and depending on the state of your cut or your wound, you may be sent to eMERGE. So everything has a place. If you are someone who is not attached and preferably lives in Crammy, I will say 61% of the patients that are seen here at this clinic are from Crammy Township. And we do look at location of the patients as well as attachment. Are they attached elsewhere? Are they attached somewhere they can't access care? You know, we have a lot of people moving here from Toronto, from the GTA. And transportation is a barrier. So there's a lot of factors in terms of who is seen where. But for the issues you just mentioned, the rural outreach clinic is not a walk-in.
So for clarity, then, the clinic, it sounds to me, there's appointments, they do a limited amount of service, and they're really focused on people who are unattached or can't access their primary care. Then you've got your walk-in clinic, which takes on a little bit more. I can walk in. If I have symptoms, I can, you know, maybe get a prescription or something like that. It's a little more spontaneous. But again, the same level of service, not complete. Then, of course, we have the emergency room, which is where everybody can go for everything from stitches to a heart attack.
Correct. Right. And unfortunately, I will add to that, when there is a lack of primary care attachment in a community, some people have to use the emergency department as primary care, I say in air quotations, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't have access. So that can even look like prescription renewals.
What is being done to remove some of the confusion about where do I go to get the services? Because you can see, you know, this clinic's become, as you note, very essential to the community and to some mm-hmm. people in the community. And mm-hmm. not a lot of people know about it. And yet, you know, if I'm sitting at home and I need help, where do I go so that I can figure out, you know, can I go to the clinic? Is this something I should be doing at the clinic? What can you offer the listener that will help them decide that, hey, this clinic might be something I can use?
Right. That's a great point, Rob. And actually, as we were having that discussion, I realized that, you know, I live and breathe healthcare every day. So these decisions come easy to me. But for community members who aren't familiar with, you know, who's who in the zoo and where do I go for help? I think that's a communication that we could even take on as an OHT, and I'm going to take that back, to develop some communication tools around that. Where do I go for what services? Having said that, I do know from my work at the Community Health Centers of Northumberland, very regularly, we receive phone calls from the public, and people should not be shy about reaching out to any healthcare provider to say, you know, even if you're not a patient, or as in the CHC world, we call them clients, even if you're not attached to that particular clinic, most medical secretaries or medical admin people are willing to help answer those questions if you're having a difficult time navigating.
Well, I know, I hate, it's not quite the same, but a 911 call. You know, we make a call, they're going to send the fire department, they'll send a cop, they'll send an ambulance,
yep.
and they figure that out for you, and you just make the one call and you get the help you need.
Right.
And I just wonder why there isn't a similar service that, you know, locally people can dial a number and then somebody's going to get on the other end and they'll say, what happened? And then, okay, here's where you should be going, or here's where that, they'll help you here, or they'll, you know, go to a whatever that is.
Yeah.
Why does that not exist?
Well, it does exist, and it's in its infancy, actually. So OHTs have also been charged with system navigation, and that is part of the role that we had here at the Rural Outreach Clinic, and we will have to re-implement when we figure out the future of the Rural Outreach Clinic and have our support in place. But there, system navigation is where people can call a number and say, this is the issue. Where do I go? How do I get a referral there? Do I need a referral there? So that will be the easiest one. And OHTs across the province are trying to implement those types of systems. I will say that already on our OHTNorthumberland.ca website, for folks who are digitally literate and able to access, we do have that component on our website so that you can search specific services within the county. So you can say, I need child and youth services. You can say, I need mental health services. You can say, I need food security services. And it'll list what's available and information about that program. But I do recognize that maybe some of our senior folks or some of our more rural folks do not currently have digital accessibility. So that's why we're implementing the phone number as well. And we will definitely socialize that as soon as it's completely launched. We have done some experimental launch with it, but it's tough.
Earlier in our conversation, we were talking about what you pay for the clinic. And one thing that wasn't clear, and I'd like to come back to it, is just how much does this cost?
Operationally, and this is an estimate if we were to include proposed rental fees, would be approximately $150,000 annually.
How much does it cost now to run?
Approximately 120. A little less, actually. Let's say 110. I am being approximate.
So we know you have staff. How many volunteers help out with it now?
So we don't actually officially have staff right now. We are only the folks that are in kind from organizations. So you can't really call them staff of the Rural Outreach Clinic because they're staff of their home organization.
So what does it cost $120,000 then? if everybody's doing this in kind?
Because of all, there are administrative costs, there are reporting costs, there are IT costs, our IT infrastructure, etc.
A lot of people have come to rely on this service. And you mentioned earlier that you've been talking to people. What do you say to them about the uncertainty that this has caused?
The folks that I met with today, right here in this office I'm sitting in at the Rural Outreach Clinic, I have said to them, we are doing our best in short order. I understand the concerns. I do understand the concerns. We all do. The entirety of the OHT does. We have had conversations about the importance of this clinic, and we are doing our best to ensure that the service doesn't disappear.
With a need for more outreach and walk-in clinics, who is responsible now for coordinating the efforts to create services to fill in the gaps in light of the fact that your organization no longer controls doctor recruitment? And is there a threat to the outreach clinic as a result of the ability to coordinate primary care recruitment?
As long as we have dedicated and committed folks at the Ontario Health Team table, Rob, which we do, the leaders of the various organizations, we have four primary care organizations sitting at the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland table. So that's the Northumberland Family Health Team, the Lakeview Family Health Team, which is in Brighton, the Trent Hills Family Health Team in Campbellford, and then the fourth primary care organization is the Community Health Centers of Northumberland. So those four primary care organizations are very dedicated, along with OHT staff and others that are not directly involved in primary care service delivery. They're very dedicated to ensuring that primary care services are growing for our county, and we are communicating. We have representation on the newly formed physician recruitment committee of the county. So I think it's essential to know that we're committed to making sure that primary care is not only brought to the community, but it's sustained.
And that's a really important point. The whole sustainability thing seems to me to be critical. I mean, you're talking about staff and a space that is in kind. You're talking about admin costs that are over $100,000 annually. And then you've got a municipality that wants to make this viable from its standpoint of view. Mm-hmm. How do you get all these moving pieces to lock together so that the community can know that they don't have to worry that this is going to evaporate sometime after the end of October?
Right. Again, it's not the intent of the OHT to have this evaporate. Great choice of words. But I will say that, if we have a staffing issue at one of our organizations, we're challenged. If one of my diabetes educators at the community health center, let's be very hypothetical. If one of the diabetes educators that comes here and provides a service has to go on a leave of absence for some personal reason, unfortunately, I don't necessarily have the ability to pull another educator from the team at the CHC because they're also doing outreach in Alderville, and they're also doing outreach in Roseneath, and they're also doing outreach in Coburg. So I don't expect folks who really want and need and deserve the services to understand those challenges. But I think it's really important that we understand that all of these service partners are trying to come together to provide continuous services to a community that we know needs it.
I know you don't intend to have the service removed, but boy, does it ever sound when you're talking like everything is stretched so thin that if one of the little gears doesn't work or breaks or falls out, the whole machine stops
working. That's a fair point, Rob. But the evidence of that, I will say the evidence of that is a staffing change that we thought we had a resolution to. The resolution, HR be HR, And so everything doesn't always line up perfectly. A staffing change has resulted in, we're in a week and a half now of challenges with, you know, keeping the door open and making sure folks can come in and provide the services that they want to provide. So we are working on a solution. That I think the best thing for me to say is we are working on a solution. In the meantime, different organizations, CHC included, have provided temporary admin support just to keep the door open and keep things flowing.
If I'm someone listening, or I'm a resident of Cramie Township, what can I do to advocate to help make sure that this clinic stays open and these services are continued?
I already know that a lot of folks have reached out to the township. And listen, I want to be clear that we understand there are fiscal responsibilities and accountabilities of the township as well, and that dialogues need to happen. It is my understanding that a lot of pressure is being put on the township by community members because, the communications in smaller communities happens rapidly. So if people want to continue advocating for the service, I would suggest they keep saying, we need this. This is really important to us. We need this.
But just to the municipality, is there no one else that they can reach out to advocate for?
I think it's really important that we at the OHT continue to listen as well.
So they should reach out to you at the health team?
Absolutely.
Taryn Renix, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Taryn Renix, Executive Director of Community Health Centers of Northumberland and co-chair of the Ontario Health Team Northumberland. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.